Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Another Money Show with JR Rochford, Anthony Correo, and the one and only Sam Davis. So we're so happy you're here. Thank you for taking your time out of your weekend to join us today. Well, we had a busy week since last week. Since we saw you last, we had a busy week. Volatile markets, Twitter. Should we talk about Elon Musk for the entire show today?
Or is that, we brought him up last show too, and we talked about how he doesn't actually have all of that money. So now he's just come up with $43 billion, $44 billion. Where? What money?
Yeah, no, he leveraged. I mean, what a smart man. You know, I mean, isn't he the richest man on the planet? So we better not question him.
He's doing something right.
They wanted me to buy Twitter. I'm like, I can't come up with that kind of money. So anyway, so today we're going to continue with our normal theme of proactive versus reactive. With everything going on every week, we're going to have current events that are more and more different. You know, I mean, and why, you know, is there things that are distracting us from what's really important? You know, we're the Suns are in the playoff. You know, we keep thinking about what's more important, $30 trillion in debt or the current events. Well, the answer is both. You know, people are starved for good news. So depending on what side of the Twitter aisle you're on, you might be ecstatic. If you're on the other side, you might be not so happy right now. You know, people that are sports fans are super happy about the Suns. You know, I mean, whatever your thing is, run with it. But underneath things, we still have to watch the longevity, the financial health of our country. So that's what we're here for. You know, and this is not, we realize this is not your normal financial show. This is not an infomercial. We are really, you know, at the end of the day, would we like to sit down with you and see if we can help your situation? Of course. But our main goal with a larger audience, we're trying to sound some alarms. You know, we're trying to tell you that everything around you is important right now. It is crucial. So that's why we're here. You know, one of the things that kind of our underlying theme, we talk about 10 pillars. We've brought it up every week. Let me run through them real quick. Debt, deficit, financial markets, taxes, inflation, healthcare, underfunded and unfunded liabilities, shrinking middle class, social media, geopolitical missteps, and civil war are the potential of. So these are all super important things. We also add in black swan events, things you're not looking for. I mean, nobody was really talking about Twitter a month ago, you know, and now it's like, well, the virus is gone. Ukraine's slowing down. Now it's Twitter. It's all these things in our face. So, and the one thing we say week after week, we want to make sure you're not scared. You are prepared. So Anthony, do you agree with all this?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, want to reiterate these 10 pillars, you know, how does social media apply into your retirement finances? Well, it doesn't. We look at these pillars as just things that we're watching that could trigger other things down the line. I mean, geopolitical missteps, taxes, inflation, you know, social media. You talk about the toilet paper shortage all the time. Well, did we really have a toilet paper shortage, or did it get to Facebook that we did? And now all of a sudden there's a supply chain issue and you can't find stuff that you need anymore. So those are the kinds of things that are worrying us. And we try to find a way to apply that to how that does affect your finances.
And really, when you look at the world around you, a lot of what we've been reading lately is that there's a potential for food shortages. You had the commander-in-chief in this country say the word famine a few weeks back, you know, and then all of a sudden we hear about fires at food plants. There's something like 36,000 food plants in this country. So is it a big deal if there were 18 or so fires? Not really. But when you couple these recent events with fires at food plants, with the talk of wheat shortages out of Russia, with the talk of possible disruptions in this country, we have to watch all of this. You know, I mean, we obviously our thing on the radio, different people are listening to us. We can't give specific advice or recommendations to any one person, but we can say in general, you know, I mean, if you're worried about the things that you're seeing, be proactive. Don't be reactive. Get out there and stock up. Buy canned goods, buy toilet paper, you know, do your thing.
Don't wait for social media to tell you that there's a problem. Be prepared now. If it's a hard asset, if it's a good that's not going to go bad for 5-6 years, get it now. Buy a little bit extra. I mean, where's the harm in that? There isn't.
Well, that's the old Boy Scout motto. I mean, if you have it, you don't need it. So what? If you need it and you don't have it, you have a problem. So we're sounding the alarm again. You know, I mean, how does our business model work? You know, we're a small shop. We're a fourth generation independent practice. You know, we help one person, one couple, one family at a time. So our whole thing is if we reach one person this week, if we meet, you know, if we reach one person every week, we're on the radio. I feel like this has been a success. What say you, Anthony? Am I on the right track here today? Do I need to buckle down now and talk about financial stuff?
I think that's not a bad idea.
So,
well, we can talk more about the food shortages, because that one's still fairly important. I mean, last week we brought up the famine thing, and then since, you know, bringing that up last week, you know, all the fires, the plane hitting a food manufacturer plant. I mean, this has been kind of a very strange week for that.
Can this grow legs? Is this something to watch? Is it nothing? I mean, we don't have a crystal ball. You know, it's kind of hard to do financial planning without a crystal ball. You know, one of the things I've always said to people, I have to work with what I know. I look back 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I have to look forward 5, 10, 20 years. Will things be the same, better, or worse? And right now it's really difficult to, I mean, the news cycles, the how fast things are coming at us. So what do we focus on? I mean, should we be worried about food? You know, everybody's kind of watching the end of this year. I mean, you know, midterm elections coming up. There's people that ask us, do we think the virus is going to make a comeback? You know, well, why? Because of midterms or because of seasonal issues or why? You know, then you couple that with, you know, some people are asking, is there a chance that we think China is going to invade Taiwan? You know, we keep hearing October if that's the case. You know, A, we have no idea. We read as much as we can. We're like little sponges. We take in everything we can, and then we try to do our best. This stuff with food, you know, it keeps coming up that later this year, because of what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, there should be food shortages. There's going to be shortages with fertilizer and all this different, you know, the whole entire area. So once again, we want everybody that hears us, everybody that meets with us, we want you to make sure you've done the best you can to be ready. So, and our whole thing, the reason we keep bringing up these 10 pillars, we have people that, you know, one's a priority to them. You know, we don't have anybody that's worried about 10 things at one time. If we did, then our whole job would be how to calm people down. There's a radio show that I love. It's also a Salem Media show, so I think I can reference it. But I heard the man say that my job is to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. My gosh, I love that. I mean, you know, we meet people that are, they can't see anything. You know, I'm going to bring up normalcy bias again. I'm going to bring that up every week until everybody I ever meet knows what it is. But, you know, how do you not see that things are uncertain? You know, things are amiss. I mean, my gosh, you know, this is the most uncharted territory this country has ever been in. I would say the world's ever been in. So the people that don't see anything, you know, the totally comfortable, we have to wake them up. So, and the people like, well, not like me, but like you, Anthony, the people that are a little bit too worried about things, we need to tell them.
I'm the too worried one.
Yes, sir. I think so. Isn't that called projection? So yeah. The people like you that are way too worried.
You have a problem.
That is probably correct. So, and you know, we have to keep people calm too. I mean, there's, you know, I don't care if it's conspiracy theory, whatever, you know, you look at these people like, we have to make sure they know there's always been something to worry about. So we have to handle what we can handle. I can tell you right now with all the uncertainty, at least I think people should be prepared, be aware, be nimble. I wouldn't want to be caught off guard if we go to a digital currency, if the banks close their doors. I mean, some of this stuff is really big and heavy. So if any of the things that could go wrong, you know, we deal with it. But what if 3 or 4 things go wrong at one time? We have to make sure people are awake. So
yeah, and you know, going into the next segment, we've got a sound bit that we're going to play for everybody that I thought was pretty good, you know, talking about inflation. But, you know, we talk about the old rules of investing and how, you know, I get that they're old rules for a reason and they work to a certain extent, but you got to be investing for the world around you. You know, a good opportunity is a good opportunity regardless of your age and risk tolerance and, you know, all those other things that we're told, like that's how we need to base what we make suggestions on. Good investment's a good investment, plain and simple. So we talk about the rule of 4%. You know, in retirement, you take your assets, you take 4% out. Even the guy that came up with that rule is saying, I don't know if that really works anymore. Yeah. So we're going to be playing a bit for that in the next segment, which it, you know, talks about inflation too. You know, when we talk about inflation, how do you hedge against that? Well, hard assets. You know, we've been screaming hard assets since the beginning of this show. So, but we're also going to talk about, say everything does miraculously work out and all of a sudden, you know, the world fixes all its financial problems and we're good to go. And you don't have to hear about the 10 pillars anymore because we've solved them all. Well, then what do? You got to talk about setting a base for retirement. You talk about diversification gets thrown around a lot. It was like, well, what happens when you don't have enough to diversify? You know, what do you concentrate first? Diversification's great, but if you don't have the kind of assets to diversify, you know, what do you concentrate on? What are your building blocks for a good financial retirement? So we're going to talk about all of that.
Sounds like we have a lot to talk about. Yeah, and one thing too.
We'll actually talk about it this time. I feel like we always say, like, here are all the things that we're going to talk about, and then we get off track, and then it's like, what are they even talking about?
Yeah, but that's what's so endearing about our show. We're like, there's a ad, I hopefully I can say this, in Phoenix, an attorney that says he's the anti-lawyer lawyer. I love that. I like being the anti-finance advisor, financial advisors. We're here to
be
entertained, not just smarter. So we need to take it up to break. You know, obviously, as always, we really want to help you. If we can ever sit down with you, we'll be honored. You know, please go ahead and check us out. We're at www.anothermoneyshow.com, www.anothermoneyshow.com, or email us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. And we'll be honored to help you in any way we can. Thank you so much again for joining us.
At Rochford & Associates, we know you've worked hard to earn your money, and you've worked even harder to save it. When it comes to wealth management and planning for retirement, J.R. Rochford and his team of specialists have been helping individuals, families, and business owners find financial freedom at their veteran-owned firm for more than 25 years. Give us a call now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444.
All right, you are back with Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford of Another Money Show. Before the break, we talked about, we were going to play a little clip from Matt McClure. Talks about inflation, Social Security, the 4% rule, a lot of things affecting seniors. You know, the odds are, you know, if you're listening to this program, you're probably at retirement or nearing retirement. So this is stuff that could really affect you. So we're going to play this clip and then we're going to talk a little bit about it.
Is your retirement plan built to withstand ongoing inflation? I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network. Hear that? It's the sound of prices launching into the stratosphere. Inflation is now at the highest point in 40 years, with the benchmark consumer price index climbing 8.5% in March. Energy prices, especially gas, accounted for much of the increase. Inflation affects all of us in different ways. MarketWatch reports that older Americans may not feel the pain of those higher gas prices if they don't have a car, or higher home prices if they don't plan to buy a home. But where retirees are feeling the pain across the board, food prices. For example, chicken prices recently rose more than 13%. It's especially tough for seniors on a fixed income like Social Security. The program does have a cost of living increase built in, but payments only go up once a year.
Their COLA, or their cost of living adjustment, isn't keeping up with those other rising costs.
Mary Johnson of the Senior Citizens League recently told PBS NewsHour, seniors are not just feeling the pain at the grocery store, but also when it comes to paying premiums for Medicare Part B. It recently jumped by $20 a month.
Medicare Part B has increased over the years 3 times faster than the annual Social Security COLA. That's been true for decades.
But prices then did not go up as much as they are now. Inflation has increased so much lately that some of the foremost experts on senior savings and spending are changing their recommendations. Like Bill Bengen, who devised the so-called 4% rule in the mid-90s. He used to advise seniors to spend 4% of their savings or investments in the first year of retirement and then adjust upward each year after that. But now he tells the Wall Street Journal that older Americans need to cut their spending now to avoid running out of money in retirement. Bengen is feeling the pain himself. He told the Journal, quote, "I won't eat in restaurants as much. I live a fairly simple life. I don't take a lot of trips, and I'm happy with a deck of cards and 3 other bridge players," end quote. But how long will inflation last? Well, economists don't really seem to agree on that, so you should probably be prepared for just about anything. After all, as Yogi Berra once said, forecasts are difficult, especially about the future. Are you properly budgeting and planning for retirement? That is a key question to consider as prices continue to launch to new heights. With the Retirement.Radio Network, I'm Matt McClure.
A lot of great information in a very short time span, but this is how, you know, the practicality. It's one thing to talk about inflation, but how does it actually affect you? You talk about the CPI going up 8.5% in March, but you know, what does that actually apply to? If it applies to something that, you know, gasoline going up and you don't drive, well, you don't feel that. Housing prices going up, but you're not shopping for a house right now. You don't feel that. What you do feel is food, right? I mean, talking about going up 13% for chicken, that's huge for these people on a true fixed income. You know, Social Security doesn't jump up like that. What was Social Security went up about 5% last year? 5.8?
5.9, I believe it was.
Something like that, in that realm. But what did the Part B go up?
I don't know, it was like 15%. Yeah, whenever they do the cost of living rise for Social Security, they also seem to find one for Medicare. Yeah. You know, and one interesting thing about the cost of living adjustment for Social Security, in the last 15 years, there have been 3 years that it was zero. They didn't raise it at all. They said, basically, we have no inflation. We're not going to raise it. And I really, I kind of have to take exception to that. You know, being in Sun City and seeing people on a true fixed income, that was somewhat problematic. You know, and what happens? I mean, if you pick on the middle class, I mean, veterans, seniors, the middle class, there's people that, you know, we pay our taxes, we do our thing. We don't make a lot of noise. So my observation on those 3 years when there was no raise, you know, people grumbled about it a little bit, but they didn't take action. They didn't get upset, you know. So really, I mean, but it's definitely needed. I mean, you know, when you look at the food right now, bacon, you know, you name it, it's definitely noticeable. Hamburger, you name it, it's noticeable. And I still, I mean, as much as inflation is important, and we do discuss it with people quite a bit, you know, going back to my Mr. Negativity, my biggest fear is inflation's not going to matter if the shelves are bare. So inflation, I mean, is it a precursor, you know, to bigger issues like food scarcity or shortages? That's my biggest fear. So, and I know that's, I shouldn't keep dwelling on that. But again, you know, I mean, if it happens and you're not ready for it, that's a problem. If it doesn't happen and you're ready for it, so what? So.
Yeah, let us help you. Be prepared, right? Proactive, not reactive. We're bringing this up for a reason. This is stuff we're doing ourselves. If we didn't think it was important, we wouldn't bring it up to you. I mean, we're financial advisors. The way we make a living is you giving us money. And so far, we've spent a ton of time telling you, don't give us money. Stock up on food, stock up on water, hard assets, things like that. So apparently, we're not good at, you know, being salesy. So another part I want to bring up. Oh, did you have something for that, Jer?
No, I think that's so good. You know, we went to a networking lunch one day and I'll never forget, you were wearing a hoodie. I know it was cold in the office. So you're wearing a hoodie over your monogram shirt and we sit down and these two women come in and they sit down, you know, and you introduce each other. And what do you do when you said financial advisor? one of them looked at you and said, well, you don't look like a financial advisor. First thing out of your mouth was, thank you. Yeah. I mean, you know, people are used to these financial advisors, high power, blue suit, white shirt, red tie, highly polished shoes. They don't necessarily care about you and your money as much as they do the pressure, the quotas. You know, you can be the greatest person on earth, but if you're a financial advisor at a firm and you have to make certain production requirements, you're not going to have a job 6 months later. You know, one of the reasons I love that we're independent, you know, we don't have those pressures. We don't have those quotas. If we can help you, we're honored. You know, when you hear the radio shows where they say, if you've saved up $250,000 or $500,000, you know, I think sometimes people that only have $50,000 need our help just as much as the people with big money. So I love that we are not the normal financial advisors.
But the people that don't even have $50,000. Like, if you don't have money, you probably need an advisor more than those that do. You need someone to help set you on the right track. I mean, obviously, we didn't learn about any of this in high school. I didn't learn about taxes in high school. That's why I don't pay them now. I don't know anything about them. There's no reason to. I didn't learn about it. So it's like, hey, it'll be fine, right?
Well, yeah. If there's any IRS agents listening to our show today, which I'm sure there's throngs of them, please. So that is the opinion of Anthony Correo, not J.R. Rochford or Sam Davis. You know, we are running out of time already for this session. Why don't we go ahead and take a break? You know, do keep in mind our whole passion in life. We want to help you. We want to sound alarms, but we also want to help you. Come in, see us. No obligation conversation on your personal situation. That's what we'll offer. So reach out to us, anothermoneyshow.com, or email us at team@anothermoneyshow.com.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. Make sure to rate us everywhere you listen to podcasts, including Spotify. Head out on the highway, looking for adventure, and whatever comes our way. Yeah, darling, go make it happen. If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, well, I'd buy house.
All right, we are back at Another Money Show with J.R. Rochford and Anthony Correo. And we just listened to that sound clip and we talked about a few bits. But there was one that was really important. And this is the one that stuck with me after hearing that. And that's the 4% rule. We hear that all the time. We talk about the rules of standard investing. I think we talked about that earlier. It's like, well, yeah, of course, there's all these rules that you can live by. And you know, they try to make it sound like it fits for every situation. Well, nothing fits for everybody. But more importantly than that, it doesn't fit in times that are as volatile as they are now. You know, 4% rule is great, but that 4% rule can drop significantly. You know, if you're banking on retirement and you've got $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 in assets and you're planning your whole retirement on being able to live off 4% and then gradually adjusting upward, how are you going to adjust upward if that gets cut to 300,000 off the bat, or it gets cut in half and now you're at 200,000? You know, that changes your plan significantly. Now you've got to be at 8% off the bat to just be at where you'd plan to be. So as your assets fluctuate, you know, that 4% that you're taking out, it's going to fluctuate as well. So how do you plan for consistency there? And the fact that even the guy who created the rule is like, eh, I don't really know if this rule works anymore. I mean, that was the biggest takeaway. So it's one thing for advisors to say, this rule is tried or true. But for the guy to come back and be like, you know, I don't think it works. You know, I took microeconomics when I was in college and I was a terrible student. So I don't remember most of that class, but I had one takeaway and that was, we have an economic formula that works. And they were using it, it was tried and true. And then the Great Depression hit. And then what happened? They changed the rule, right? These rules aren't meant to be infinite. They're not meant to last for forever because things change and you have to adapt to it. So we're big on changing with the times, changing with the atmosphere, changing with the economy, you know, changing with the world around us right now is obviously a key takeaway. If you've listened to anything more than like 2 seconds of this show, we've said that a billion times. So the fact that he said, even, you know, I don't know if the 4% rule works. So if you're just now coming in, check us out wherever you can hear podcasts. check us out at 960 The Patriot, their website. You know, go back and listen. Ton of great information from Matt McClure on there. And then that'll kind of make sense on what we're talking about, this 4% rule. But JR, you want to talk about income and strategies? And, you know, if we're saying, you know, we think income's more important than assets, and this whole rule is based on, you know, 4% of your assets becomes your income, and we're saying, you know, we don't necessarily think that's the way to go, you know, what is your strategy?
Well, and to tie in with what you're saying, I mean, you know, I keep talking about uncertainty and uncharted times we're in. You know, the rules have changed. When people say, you know, there's rules, there's basic rules, that's true. But if the whole world around the basic rules change, you know, I mean, we never had $30 trillion in debt until this year. I mean, there's, when you look at inflation, taxes, all the things that are on the table at one time, it's a different world. So we have to adapt to that. You know, the 4% rule, it's, I mean, I hate to say this, it depends. You know, for some people, depending on the amount of your assets, 4% might be great. For somebody else, it might not. You know, we have people all the time that say, well, my dad died in his 60s. My mom was in her 70s. Grandparents were young. You know, I'm going to enjoy this stuff. So spend it all. You know, there's a book called Die Broke. I mean, you know, do your thing. Everybody's different. Everybody's situation is different. So we have to help you determine that. You know, life is about moderation. If you live for today and tomorrow, you're probably going to do all right. So, but don't take somebody else's steadfast rule and think it's going to help you get through this, because the world's different. So we need to, yeah, let's talk about income. I want to take the last segment today and talk about some like mainstream financial planning. I want to talk about safety. You know, I mean, if we can help you increase the safety of your assets, increase your income, and reduce your taxes, would that be of interest to you? You know, I mean, that's what we want to hit. So let's do this. Why don't we go ahead and give you our information again? Feel free to reach out to us. You can find us at anothermoneyshow.com. www.anothermoneyshow.com, or email us at team@anothermoneyshow.com.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.
Would you lock the door? Will you still need me?
Are you concerned about market volatility, rising taxes from the Biden administration, and how it could affect your retirement? Then listen to Another Money Show with J.R. Rochford and Anthony Correo. Learn how you can reduce the taxes you pay before and during retirement. Another Money Show every Saturday at 4 p.m. on 960 The Patriot. Schedule your free, no-obligation consultation now by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444.
Thanks so much for listening to Another Money Show. If you like what you're hearing, make sure to rate our show on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, you are back with Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford on 960 The Patriot, Another Money Show on this Saturday evening. So we're talking about income strategies in retirement, how the 4% rule may be a thing of the past. You know, it's a good stepping stone. I guess it's a good, you know, you got to start somewhere. But even the guy who invented the rule saying that may not apply. So when we talk about income in retirement, well, what do people use? You know, people use high dividend paying stocks, right? Makes sense. You know, the stock fluctuates, it goes up or down, but at least you're getting some sort of consistent income out of that. Well, the problem is, if that stock gets cut in half, unless they're doubling their dividends, you can't plan on that consistently. You could plan on there being a dividend, but you can't plan on the amount. And if your income fluctuates, you know, 20, 30%, does your mortgage fluctuate 20%, 30% each month? Does your car bill? Does your electric? No, there's some consistency for that. So if you're going to plan your retirement, you can't be planning a consistent income based on something that's inconsistent. Another one, people are really big on bonds. Bonds is huge for retirement, right? You've got a set amount of interest. You know, if you own an individual bond, you've got that set amount of interest each time. Well, do people have individual bonds? Not the way I see it. A lot of people have bonds through mutual funds, through ETFs. So bonds have a value. How that works is if interest rates rise, the bond value drops. Now, if you own the individual bond, well, you don't really have to worry about fluctuations of price because you're not selling it. But if you don't, if you have these mutual funds, if you have these ETFs, there's so much variables to it. And like you said, they work inversely. Interest rates. What's the Fed doing right now? Raising rates. You know, they talked about raising it 0.25%, yet mortgages just practically doubled. You know, we had 3% mortgages a year ago. Now we're looking at 5 or 6%. And that's just 0.25% raise. They're talking about raising it 0.5%, another 0.25%, another 0.5%. You know, they're going to talk about raising almost throughout the year. So as interest rates rise, what does that mean for bonds? I mean, bonds are going to fall. So how do you plan your retirement around bonds, which are also fluctuating in price? They're fluctuating in yields. How do you get some sort of consistency?
Well, what you're saying to me is we like certainties. We like knowns. You know, we want to know what to expect. You know, we have a solution for that. You know, that one of the things that we're big on, income over assets. You know, you talk about that a lot. If somebody has a great deal of assets, but not enough income, they deplete their assets. They get down to what they need each week, each month, each year. So if you have an income that surpasses your debt, you know, basically you're living better. You know, we're in Sun City. What is the fear for people? You know, the big gorilla in the room is healthcare. What are long-term care costs going to do? We're in a landscape where long-term care insurance is blown up. So we worry about healthcare. The granddaddy, you know, no matter how much money you have, underneath it all, you worry that you have enough. Year after year, doesn't matter how much somebody has, they worry about running out of money. So what are one of the ways to combat this? You know, with the bonds being uncertain, unknown, stocks being uncertain, unknown, you know, we're huge on educating people about annuities. You know, and if you've heard the word annuity and you run from it, you've heard nothing good, let's address that for a minute. Let's give you a little annuities 101 here. So, you know, if you listen to Ken Fisher, who hates annuities, yet he was a huge investor in annuity companies, you know, I mean, he's doing managed money. He's not selling annuities. If you talk to a precious metals dealer, they're going to say the world is ending. JR, your doom and gloom is spot on. You know, we need to get you all in gold, which, you know, there's pros and cons there. So basically, we want to add some of the good news about annuities. You know, people that say, I don't like annuities. Well, you know, ask Tom Hegna about annuities. Are you taking your Social Security? Well, of course. What's Social Security? It's an annuity. You put money into it and they're paying money back to you for life. So yeah, that's
people don't realize annuity is just another term for pension. If you know anybody with a pension and you look at their paperwork, it says annuities. So we're taught to love pensions, but hate annuities. It's a sales term. It's a marketing. You know, you belong in the market. That's where your money belongs. And I want to touch on that too, JR. Because like you said, with, you know, if you're a precious gold salesperson, you know, all the doom and gloom's correct, but just invest in this. We're not saying invest in annuities because that's all we do. We're telling you, we adapt to the world around us. I've got my assets under management license. I can do stocks and bonds and all kinds of securities for a client, but there's a good time to be in and a not so good time. So if you've got enough to diversify, then yeah, absolutely have some stocks and bonds. We can get into our strategies on that, you know, later down the road, but we're talking about annuities because we think that's so important for the base of retirement is having that income. Once you have your base in retirement, you can diversify, you can gamble, you know, you can buy weird stuff, you know, crypto, ETF, stuff that nobody truly understands. Start getting out there, but have a base first.
Well, and what you're talking about is the simple rules of diversification. You know, the old pie chart when I was new, you know, you want your bonds, you want your real estate, you want your cash. You know, you had these things you needed to own. Annuities, we say it's a base. You know, when you hear the word gambling, if somebody buys a pick ticket, if they buy into the lottery and they win $1 million, you know, there's two choices. You can take $1 million in a lump sum minus taxes, or you can take it over 30 years. That's an annuity. It's setting up a pension with your winnings. You know, the pro to that, you're probably not going to buy a yellow Corvette and run out of money in 2 years. So, you know, our whole thing, when we talk about increasing the safety of your assets, increasing your income and reducing your taxes, guess what we're talking about? You know, we think annuities definitely have a place. There's two main categories of annuities. One is fixed and one is variable. We're going to focus on fixed. So let me kind of get variable to the side. You know, what that means, it's market sensitive. I call it mutual funds in a box. You take this box, which is the annuity, the variable annuity, and you put stocks, bonds, fixed instruments, you put different choices in it. So part of the problem over the years, what I've seen is that the risk is high. You're getting mutual funds and you take the burden of that risk. The fees are high. I actually, you know, quick sidebar to variable annuities. We had a woman that we helped years ago. She had an annuity, and this thing, you know, I'm sure the agent meant well. I'm sure there was no malintent there, but this thing had a total fee structure of 6.8%. And I've had people say that's impossible. I've seen 3 or 4. I've never seen that. Well, what happened was they took every bell and whistle. You know, this thing had its normal annual fee, M&E charges, which is mortality and expense, sub-account fees, rebalancing fees, a ratcheted death benefit, a guaranteed lifetime income withdrawal benefit. And then there were advisory fees. There was a wrap fee around this. And then there was a advisory fee on top of that. So this thing got up to almost 7%. Think about that. You know, we've just had a decade where you make those kind of numbers. In general, I would not count on that. So, well, let's move on a little bit from variable annuities. You know, we like fixed annuities for a reason. We like knowns, especially in uncharted, uncertain times. We want to give people the peace of mind of knowns. When you look at fixed annuities, there's a few basic subgenres. One is they're called multi-year guaranteed annuities. And what that is, I kind of look at that like it might be a possible alternative to a CD. You tell me how many years, I'll tell you the interest rate. So if you do a 5-year multi-year guaranteed annuity, we give you the interest rate. You know, we're in mid-April, and I know the rates are in the range with most companies around 3%. Well, you can't get that on a CD. Similar structure, you have this fixed annuity with an insurance company, not a bank. So we do have to talk about protections. You know, you do not have the FDIC protection. We'll explain the pros and cons to that. But basically in the range of 3%, where the 5-year annuities locally are about 0.5%. You know, the highest we've seen nationwide are about 1.5%. So another feature to the multi-year guarantee, it's tax deferred. So as you're making your interest, it is compounding within until you take it out. You know, with a CD, you're getting a 1099 every year, which eats into your earnings. So I kind of look at it like an alternative to a CD. It's good for some people. It is a retirement vehicle. It is meant for people that are 59 and a half or older. So we always make sure we talk about that. Another type of fixed annuity is a single premium immediate annuity. And what that means, you give us a lump sum, you tell us how much you want to put in, and basically it shows how much they'll pay you per month for life. So, or a specific term, if you say, I want to deplete this lump sum in 10 years, we give you how much it'll be. So if you say, I want it for lifetime, it's something you can never outlive. Obviously, you know, the days of, you know, way long ago when annuities where you did this lifetime annuity, you put money in, well, God forbid you die 2 years later, the insurance company keeps your money. So we're very aware of those. They do still exist. We in this office have never sold one. We never will. We want to make sure there's a beneficiary on your annuity. Shifting gears to another kind, there's one called a fixed indexed annuity. And that's what's getting all the buzz. You know, the last 15, 20 years, those have really risen, you know, taking a little bit of the risk off the table from the variable, taking a little of the fees, lessening the fees in general. So that's what I want to key in on. Anthony, you gave a scenario to somebody who was very basic annuity knowledge. You brought up playing blackjack. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I do. And I think you mentioned Tom Hegna earlier, and I could have swore I heard it from one of his presentations. So I think I'm stealing this from a book somewhere. But I love the analogy because it makes sense. I mean, fixed index annuities, how they work is if the market goes up, you don't get all of that. You know, you don't get all of the upside. But what they do is they remove the downside. So it just constantly steps up. So, you know, if the market goes down, the worst case is you earn 0% for the year. Well, who wants to earn 0%? Nobody wants to earn 0%. But would you rather earn 0% than lose money? I would say, you know, some people feel that's much safer to go. I mean, I'm personally in that bucket. So the analogy with, if you play blackjack, if you're familiar with the game, if you play and you bet $100 and you win, you get $200. Awesome. What happens if you lose? Well, then the casino takes your $100. So you're either going to have zero or $200. That's it. With a fixed index annuity, how that works is, imagine you're also at that same casino, but there's another blackjack table, and you bet $100. And if you win, you get $30. Well, that doesn't seem great. At the other table, I could leave with $200. Yeah, but let's look at this on the flip side. What happens if you lose at this table? Well, if you lose at this table, you leave with your $100. So in comparison, is it great to be able to have $200? Absolutely. But do you want to have $200 at the risk of having zero? Or do you want to gamble? And if you win, you leave with a little extra money. But if you lose, you still leave with what you brought. What we're doing is we're self-funding a pension. Here's an income stream that you can count on for life. You know, if you put $100,000 into a SPIA and the mortality table says you're going to pass away at 85, well, by the time you get to about 85, you're going to have spent that $100,000. What happens if you live to 95? What happens if you live to 105? You don't run out of money. It continues to pay year after year for as long as you live. So when you're talking about setting up a base in retirement, we love having something you can count on, something you can be consistent each month. So do we like high dividend paying stocks? Yes. Do we like bonds to some extent? Yeah. Right now, I mean, right now is a very interesting time to have bonds, but they've got their time and place for sure. So big on just setting a base, having income you can't outlive, and having some sort of consistency. So that is our show for today. Hopefully we gave you something to think about. If you have questions, concerns, comments, please reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. That's team@anothermoneyshow.com. And you can find us at www.anothermoneyshow.com. Until then, you take care.
Have a great rest of your weekend.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interest of our clients and to make full disclosure of any conflicts of interest if any exist. Investment advisory services offered through Ridge Capital Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor. Ridge Capital Advisors and Rochford & Associates are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through Ridge Capital but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.